Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, the Stars offered me box seats, luxury box suites for game 7. I think it was game 6. And I said, hey, Stanley Cup could get handed out tonight. I've always wanted to be in the building when the Stanley Cup gets handed out. And she said, we came down here for George Strait. We're going to George Strait.
How about that?
So I walked out of Cowboys Stadium and I'm like, hey, who won the Stars game? Who won the Stars game? It's Dallas in 2000. No, the who, the what? And I'm like, this wouldn't have happened in Winnipeg. They know.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
That's right. A great NHL city, Winnipeg. Great city overall. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new week. It's the RP Show, episode number 402 of Canada's daytime sports talk show is on the air. And we're coming to you live from the bunker out here in Western Canada with a ton of things to talk about. RP here and my sidekick, Darren Moose DuPont over there. How are you?
I'm good.
It feels like forever since I've seen you.
It has been a while.
Yeah, since Friday.
I know.
I went and got my haircut on Friday, and the nice lady who was cutting my hair, she's like, your partner? She's from Vietnamese, by the way. She's like, your partner, the one with long hair? That's what she said.
Speaking of
that. She wants to get her hands on your hair, I think.
I know. Speaking of people going to, you know, wanting to get hands on the hair, I got coffee with Kirby this week. I know we talked about that, so I'm excited. Looking forward
from
to it.
From Sud's Full Service Car Wash. She said, get Darren down here. I want to see that hair in person.
Yeah.
I want to meet that hair. So,
World Tour starting.
Lots of fun planned this hour on the RP Show. We will be joined by Andy McNamara from Sportsnet's Fantasy Football Program. And he is presented by DraftKings. We'll talk about what happened with the Cleveland Browns yesterday. He hosts Canada's foremost Cleveland Browns podcast. And also Braden Muscoe will be joining us from Team Dunstone, Saskatchewan's rep at the Brier, coming up just next month. Feels like that snuck up on us.
Yeah.
But probably not to the curling community. So that will have ramifications from coast to coast. But Jordan, let's jump in on the Quick Six show topics, please. What do you say? There's so many things to talk about coming out of a very busy weekend. NFL playoffs. I'll start with the National Football Conference. Here are your results from the weekend. You saw Sunday night in the featured game for me, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating the New Orleans Saints 30-20. That was an upset classified by the odds makers who had the Saints favored by 3. My take on that was that the Saints simply made more mistakes than the Buccaneers did. Because how many drops did Gronk have in the game?
Oh, I know.
Two huge ones for sure.
Yeah.
But they still won. Which tells me, Tampa Bay must be a very good team, because if you're making mistakes in the playoffs and still winning against good teams, you must be pretty darn good.
You must be pretty good. Look at the throw Brady made to Godwin at the end of the end zone. And he's made those catches before, just couldn't come up with it. So, you know, the stats weren't there, but he was still making big throws around the field. They just weren't coming up with it.
So that was the big upset of the weekend. The other game in the NFC was Green Bay dismantling the Los Angeles Rams 32-18 at Lambeau. And that was not a surprise. So now we're headed to the conference championship. It is, it's going to be a fun week. Tom Brady versus A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers, and what the early line? I think somebody said Packers favored by 3. Do you have any thoughts on that game?
It's projected to be -4 Celsius and snow at Lambeau. So hopefully we get that snow globe that we had for the night game between Tennessee and Green Bay earlier in the year. I think it's going to be outstanding. That's kind of what I projected the line to be at, 3.5 Green Bay. It won't be about who's better. It'll be about who grabs momentum, because both of these teams, when they get rolling, they're hard to stop. And when they start making mistakes, it feels like neither of them really turn things around all that often.
One thing that I like about this quarterback matchup, and clearly I'm a Tom Brady fan. I'm wearing his bunny hug right now, thanks to you, my Christmas gift from the staff here. But with Tom, he wears his heart on his sleeve. That's very evident.
Yeah.
What Tom's feeling, you know, by the look on his face, and he's motivated. He's looking fresh. I would not be betting against Tom Brady this weekend. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, you can never tell what he's thinking. He's the same all the time. And that's been his hallmark of success too, right?
And they've never been playing better than they are in Green Bay right now. Their defense was characteristically, was known as this not kind of soft, not very physical. but they're playing physical now, and Devontae Adams best in the game, right? They're tough. That's going to be a heck of a game.
Point two to the AFC playoffs and the game of the week, as far as I was concerned, if you didn't really have a rooting interest, was the Cleveland-Kansas City game, which had the largest point spread going in, favoring the Chiefs by 10. They ended up winning by 5. Officiating had a hand in that, which we're going to get to. But again, the Kansas City Chiefs have moved on. The question is, what's happening with their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, who didn't finish the game after having his notes rattled? I was watching the game with my brother-in-law, and he goes, he didn't get hit in the head. And I said, I've been around sports long enough to know that you don't need to get hit in the head. A solid shot right here that rattles your brain inside your melon can give you a concussion, and that seems to have been what happened with Patrick Mahomes. And I'm correcting myself this morning, write it down, it doesn't happen very often that I have to. I said that Chris Jones had a big part in the Cleveland Browns victory. I watched him on the sidelines yesterday in the second half. I'm getting a note here from CFL people saying, he wasn't there, you got the wrong guy. Oh, I'm sorry, the little bit of his eyes that were peeking out and looking at his hands, I swore it was Chris Jones, but he wasn't there. And they're saying that Chris Jones probably will be moving on from the Cleveland Browns. A story to watch moving forward. And the other game in the AFC was the Bills routing Baltimore 17-3. And that was, in a way, largely disappointing because I just expected a closer, better game. And it wasn't really good at all. No, I didn't think so anyways. To point three, because we are a hockey country, NHL weekend notes. Where do we start? I'd rather just look ahead. Tonight's battle at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. The number one team in Canada, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Check the spell check on that one.
Right now.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, number one team in Canada, hosting the only unbeaten team in Canada, the Winnipeg Jets. TSN 3 has it out here in our region, the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL. That's tonight. But if you want to back up, Oilers fans are incensed. Again, it feels like all is just normal in the world. Oilers fans are upset. Leafs fans are planning a parade. Montreal fans are puffing their chests out because they went into Edmonton and had their way with the Oilers. And they're going to try and do it again tonight. I said it an hour ago. I'll say it now. I love the fact that Darren and producer Clark are Leaf fans. I'm not. You can cover the eastern part of the country. Yep. Ontario anyways. Yep. And then I'll cover... I watch the Golden Knights and I follow the Oilers. And between all of us, we got it all really locked down.
Yeah.
And with Joe Lozito on Long Island, he's got the New York teams covered.
We're in good shape.
We're a perfect team.
Oh, yeah.
You ready to move on from the NHL, or is there anything you wanted to add on that?
No, I'm good. I'm ready to move on to tonight. I can't wait.
Okay. Point four here in the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. Just... unofficiating. Let's just remember where we were in the summertime complaining about COVID and nobody knew if we were ever going to live or die or if we were going to have a job, if we were going to have any money, if we're going to have to move in with our parents. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We would have died to hear people complaining about, figuratively, to hear people complain about officiating.
Yep.
But here we are. And you've got, you've got Browns fans saying, stupid rule! Fumbling at the goal line, giving up possession, and it's a touchback. Dumb rule, needs to be changed. Well, you didn't think that until Sunday. You didn't have a problem with the rule, but when it affected your team, it needs to be changed. And I'll point it out again. Last week, Montreal had a goal against them, against the Leafs, because it went off the referee, and it counted, because that's the rule. Puck goes in off a ref, it counts. Habs fans, incensed, change the rule. Let's go talk to a Toronto fan. Or let's go talk to a Kansas City fan. They don't have a problem with the rules. You notice how the officiating, how, or if you're like me, and in a lot of these games, you didn't care who won, the officiating gets a lot better.
Doesn't
you noticed?
Doesn't it? You know, when you really don't put an emphasis on that and you start taking ownership, even when your teams are playing, you know, it's a, if you can take ownership that the team lost because the team wasn't good enough. Yeah, breaks here and there, and puck goes off a netting or off a camera, and it wasn't seen, or you know what I mean? Or it gets off a referee, it wasn't called, or this penalty wasn't called. At the end of the day, you lost because you weren't good enough. Once you get open that up, that they don't impact your team, it's so much more fun to watch sports.
How about this? Don't fumble at the one.
That too.
And then you don't have to blame the officials. or at the cone? Adam Schultz, one of our P1s, writes in and he says, they missed the hit to the head, too. Even that's subjective. I mean, Twitter is a wonderful thing to sit there, and if you follow the football players, they're debating it back and forth. Some are saying, that's not a hit to the head. Others are saying, what are you talking about? Of course it is, which it just goes back to perspective. And then you watch the night game, and 33 for Tampa Bay got called for lowering his head, and Bruce Arians goes nuts.
I know.
And you just realize this is all black and white. And I'm thinking, 2021, all this technology, and we still can't get the calls right.
You go back to the hit to the head on the one-yard line when he fumbled it. And I've seen it on Twitter and social media. A lot of people complaining that they missed the hit to the head. And I think, okay, so what? Like, the fact that, like, the amount that that would have impacted the game, because they had the first down, down to the one-yard line, so they call a hit to the head, they throw the flag, and they put the ball on the one-yard line with the first down. Like, it literally would not have changed the game at all, but yet we just want to point out the mistake and say that they missed it just to be angry.
Right.
It's just,
so
it's no good.
My point is, I'm already nauseated by this discussion, yet it's a lot better than talking about the Rona or Donald Trump or Justin Trudeau. Point five, funding for junior hockey. It was hella big news on Friday that this province's government's giving $4 million to its junior hockey teams. Still not entirely clear what it's for. Is it just to keep the lights on and so your staff can feed themselves? Or is it to get back onto the ice? As we sit here today, we still don't really know what it's for.
Right.
Are they going to play or are they not getting a play? But at least bravo to the government of this province doing it. And then you knew wouldn't be long before other leagues were doing the same. And that's exactly what happened. And in beautiful British Columbia, the junior teams put a proposal to the government. And the government said, hang on, we don't have money for you right now, but sports is a vital what was the quote? I wrote it down. Sports is a vital part of the community's healing once the pandemic is over. And God knows when that'll be. But I've just said, at least we can agree on something, on the importance of sports to the local economy, the civic pride, the mental health of the fans and the players. At least it was acknowledged that it was important for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Is my point.
It's a part of the community. And I like that, you know, acknowledging that, look at, we can't sit here and just earmark this money for return to play. This is money that says, look at, we value you. We hope that this is going to help your business stay afloat and just make sure that the teams are around, because when you're allowed to play, we're really going to need you to be here. So make sure that you're ready when you're allowed to play.
Point six, some CFL news. It's an interesting time in the CFL because there's only a handful of media that are actually covering what's going on. I mean, the teams are sending out their news releases of restructured deals, but we don't know by how much. So you get the odd scrap thrown at you from Farhan Lalji, a little bit from David Naylor, and a lot from 3downnation.com, who's doing the biggest digging in the corners. But Adam Big Hill in Winnipeg takes a $145,000 pay cut. And obviously, we've had him on this show. We're huge fans of Adam Big Hill, going back to his days with the BC Lions. And he wrote an essay at the Blue Bombers website saying how much he loves the city. Make no mistake, huge blow to his family. They're building a house in Winnipeg. They plan to stay there post-career. And now the ball's over in the court of Charleston Hughes. And I went back and read the article from 3Down Nation. Solomon Elamimian and Ed Gainey and Charleston Hughes have been proposed similar whopping pay cuts by the Saskatchewan Roughriders as to what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have swallowed. And I think, on one hand, you want to just leave the CFL alone and go talk NFL and NHL, because as one agent texted me on the weekend, it's just pay cut after pay cut after pay cut every day. It's very negative and volatile on the CFL right now. So you kind of just want to say, you guys figured out, we'll be over here. But on the other side, you want to report to the fans what's going on. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So where I said people are edgy, Jack in Alberta wrote in and said, leave Charleston alone. Let him make his own decisions. Hey, we are. What do you want us to do? Not talk about it? I'm kind of conflicted and confused as to what we're supposed to do covering the CFL right now. You word things better than me. What's your summation of all that?
It is. It's really tough. We don't know what we're supposed to do because you don't want to speak negatively about the league that we love because that doesn't look good. But yet they're not talking or giving us any information, so we can't really talk positively about it because we don't know if anything positive is happening. All we can talk about is what's happening. And they're being asked to take pay cuts, you know, and salary structure, and there's rumors that Charleston might go somewhere else, so we need to talk about it. And you know, when you've said it last hour, when you get in and step into that limelight and you want to be a professional athlete, then this is part of the job that comes along with it. People watching literally your every move and debating, you know, every step that you take, contracts, plays, you name it. So,
and in most cases, you didn't even sign up for it. By becoming an athlete, you already have a public life. Doesn't make it right, but that's the way that it is. There was a big debate last week or whenever PK Subban and Lindsey Vonn broke up, yep, where everywhere you looked on both their social media, they're skiing, they're doing this, they're smiling, right? They're influencers.
Yep.
And then they break up and they both want privacy.
Good luck.
It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So we're going to debate what Charleston Hughes does and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders because that is pro sports. But I guess lastly, before we break and bring in Andy McNamara to talk a little Browns, do you think that they could whack salaries in the CFL so much to a point that they could play without fans?
I hope so.
You think that's a way that they could do it?
I hope so. It leads me to believe that that's what's happening. I mean, if they're going to play with fans and they're only going to play with fans, then why do you need to whack the salaries if you're expecting to have the same revenues back and everything else? You know, don't ask the players to take salaries just to pay for the debts you incurred from not playing for a year, right? Don't ask the players to pay that bill. But if you're going to play with empty stands, then be honest with the players and say, look, we'd love you to take a pay cut because here's what we're thinking. We're going to try to play here without fans. And when the fans come back next year or in 2023, your salary will go back up to where it's more appropriate. But hey, let's work on this together. You take a little hit. We're going to play without fans and commit to playing. I think everybody can get behind that. But we're only seeing the players taking pay cuts. We're not seeing the league come out and say, we're doing this because we want to play with no fans.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
We're missing that side of the conversation.
Our poll question today is, for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, should the Scotia North Division continue after this year? My Lord, we could spend an hour debating that. I say no for a variety of reasons. The biggest one is the time zone and the travel and the wear and tear on the players. But it's become evident, and the reaction from our viewers is that that's the only reason that they might not consider keeping the All-Canadian Division moving forth. The ratings are great. You got the Jets and the Leafs tonight, and what for all the marbles, for just tonight. Tomorrow there will be another huge matchup.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Is it good for only 1 year, or should we keep it past this year? 66% of people saying no. It should not continue past this year, so we'll continue on with that. We'll be right back. Sports update coming up. Andy McNamara to talk Browns from Sportsnet's fantasy football program. We'll be right back. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, daily on YouTube, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back, everybody. Just want to tell you, the Prairie Mobile text line is open for the viewer takeover comment later in the day. 306-840-8777 if you want to weigh in on any of our topics today. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. Let's go out on video chat today and join Andy McNamara, host of Sportsnet's fantasy football programming and host of the Browns podcast. Andy, how you doing today, my friend? Did you think the impossible was going to happen?
Oh, Rod, I did. It was Patrick Mahomes goes out, and all you got to do is stop Chad Henne, who hadn't played in like 4 or 5 years. Dude runs for 14. They convert a 4th-and-1, and you know, it was just enough, right? Just typical Browns fashion, just enough to make me believe that moment, and it pulled it away. You know, it was tough, but what a heck of a ride, man! That was a fun, fun season. Nobody expected you to win, and you almost did. The building blocks are there for the Cleveland Browns, that's for sure.
Well, I would say that you're Canada's foremost Browns insider, so please tell me the reason for the turnaround, because it appears to be simply Kevin Stefanski and his staff. Is it more to it than that? And if so, maybe he should be coach of the year.
Well, first of all, I think, yes, without a shadow of a doubt, take my Browns fandom away. There is no doubt. You take this team, this franchise, which has been just wandering the desert since they returned in 1999, one playoff appearance. You've seen all the graphics, folks, right? 18 years that hadn't won in Pittsburgh in 17. You make the playoffs. You win against your arch rival. You make Chase Claypool into a crazy internet troll. And then you go and you almost beat the defending Super Bowl champs. By the way, you also discovered along the way this season that you got your franchise quarterback in Baker Mayfield. So I think it's a combination of finally the Browns front office and coaching staff being in synergy. Because for so long, it had been coach would get fired, the GM wouldn't be able to hire his guy, vice versa. And they're just, it was always infighting. There's no infighting. Everybody's on the same page. And that system for Baker Mayfield, the reason I'm so optimistic is because all the success was done in a COVID-shortened season. No off season, no proper way to learn the system. He learned on the way. Give me a normal full offseason with Baker Mayfield, and I think this team can be the best in the AFC North and make some noise next year for sure in the playoffs.
So that would coincide with the Steelers slide. Like, you're hearing reports that maybe Ben Roethlisberger retiring. What are you hearing out of the steel curtain?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of whining, and it feels so good, Rod, but I'll tell you that. Hey, well, as Browns fans, we've had to eat it for 20 years. Come on, you know? But we have to think about this from the Steelers' side of it. Okay, you got Ben Roethlisberger, who for the most part, let's not forget, this team started 11-0. Then you can say easy schedule, whatever. But bottom line, National Football League, it's hard to win, and you went 11-0. Full credit. But that elbow, that surgically repaired elbow, got worn down, and you just saw them having to change Ben's game a lot, the dinking and dunking. And while his arm strength is still better than, let's say, a Drew Brees, we see at the end of the line, at some point, you're going to have to make a move. Now, for the Steelers, it's even worse because you got a massive cap hit. Ben Roethlisberger is on the line for $41 million bucks next year. That. So what do? Do you try to restructure, bring him back one more year? Does he want to? If you don't, you did too well to get one of the top quarterbacks. You're going to trot out Mason Rudolph? Okay. You know, there's the pieces are there. The defense is strong. You got weapons at wide receiver. But the quarterback situation is very iffy. And I would say that Ben Roethlisberger, my hunch would be that he will come back, but they better start getting a plan B because it's not Mason Rudolph. And it's clearly a decline. And it might be a bit of a holding pattern for the Steelers where they can't get their quarterback or what they want this offseason. And they got to sort of hold pat and then see how things develop from there.
Andy, I see the Leafs. Is it a pillow over your shoulder? I'm going to get to tonight's game in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I just got to say this, man. I have dabbled in fantasy football. And now with sports betting, we've got a big partner here with Come On Official. I can't believe, I'll call it a tax on the willing. It's not going away. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's making me wonder, is there ever an end in sight? How big can it get? What is with the popularity of fantasy and maybe not even fantasy, but also betting, props and the games themselves? What is it?
Oh, absolutely, Rod. Well, the thing is, it makes, and especially I think maybe in Canada where there isn't a home team per se. It's not like the Raptors or Blue Jays where they're Canada's team and people can rally around it. People have either legacy teams from their fathers, grandfathers that they followed, teams they just like, whatever the case might be. And the betting and fantasy side really makes it interesting. And the NFL is special in that regard because it's only once a week that a team will play. Now, you got games Thursdays, Sundays, Mondays, but for the most part, it's not like in baseball, let's say, where in a normal year, well, if you miss a Tuesday game, you still have 100 others to worry about, or hockey or basketball. Every game in the NFL matters, and it's an event. And so when you look at the gambling side of it and the fantasy football side of it, it's a case where you can plan out farther ahead. You can get more in-depth strategy-wise because there's not the quick turnaround. And so for like DraftKings, for example, you got the conference championship games coming up this week, where you can play a couple of different style of games. You can do a head-to-head showdown contest where you pick a captain. And the strategy here, Rod, is crazy, where it's like you pay 1.5 times the salary of a 50K salary cap for 1.5 times the points. Or you can play the four teams going head-to-head together and what position group makes the most sense. So I think a lot of it is the strategy and gives people just an extra reason to watch. And that's the same on the betting side with all the props, too.
Yeah. So with the Leafs Jets tonight, you know, I mentioned on Twitter or somewhere that it was, you know, the Leafs are the number one team in Canada. Jets fans immediately were on me, but there's only one unbeaten team in Canada, the Winnipeg Jets. And it's like our poll question today is, should the Scotia North Division stay past this year? Because Andy, you could make a reason every single night for why this game is the biggest game of the year. And this Jets Toronto game tonight is just like, it's massive.
It's true. And especially in this whole NHL season where you're playing, what, 26 less games, if my math is right, than a typical year. And you're playing each other a lot more because it's the silo division. So one of the storylines I'm looking at for this whole year, Rod, is, okay, when you play a team more and more and more, no matter what the skill level, how do the rivalries develop? How do teams get used to and game plan differently than in any other year? And also the patience level from both teams, right? And well, all the teams really, of if a guy's in a slump, if you know, normal season forwards in a 2-week slump, all right, he'll get out of it. Well, 2 weeks is a lot more precious. What if a goaltender slide? When do you make that decision to pull? Because time is limited. You have less opportunity and every win is that much more crucial, which is why in tonight's game, you know, you got the top four making it. It's going to come down to tiebreakers. It's might come down to when we look back, hey, you know what? This game in January really did make a difference. It's I can't wait for tonight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Me either. So do you think it should stay past this year?
I think that'd be pretty cool. I think that'd be good. Like in a normal NHL season, as long as we can still start playing other teams again. I don't necessarily want to be seeing the Ottawa Senators 14 times a year. That's a little much, you know? If we can divvy it up a little bit. But I like the Canadian division angle of it, the North Division sponsor, whatever you want to call it. But like that standpoint where how often have we said, oh, we want more Canadian rivalries. We want that. And it just depending on conference, whatever doesn't work out. Now you could have that. And so if you can keep it and then, you know, you spread it out and still play other teams, I say, why not? Like the rivalries, the passion that's already so high for the NHL in Canada would only get turned up how many notches, right?
Exactly.
I think it'd be really good.
Stampeders fan in Calgary, Jeff, wants to know, here's the quote of his question. Does this guy follow the CFL at all? Do you want to talk about your history with the CFL and if you're still following it as closely as when you were the voice of a team?
Do I follow the CFL? I got a Grey Cup football right there, baby. So maybe a little off screen. Boom, right there. Got that one. Absolutely. I was play-by-play voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats on the radio side. Argo sideline reporter, national CFL show. You know, you get out of it a little bit, Rod, because the season was canceled last year, so you don't necessarily follow it as closely this past off season. I can't wait for the league to start up again. Yeah, let's see how, like, the analysis going forward after a year off, because we're now looking back, okay, how did a team do, not last season, 2 seasons ago? How does that carry forward? What's the turnover like? What are these players like who really haven't played ball in a year? You can keep in shape. Like, Rod, we know this, right? You can keep in as good a shape as you want, but there's no substitute for football shape. What are the injury situations like? How do guys come back or don't? Like, this CFL season, I think, is going to be really interesting. Just see how things play out. And if certain teams start off slower than expected, whatever, because it's going to be a lot of projections based on really 2-year-old information.
If I may, I think the NLL might be your favorite, or at least your guilty pleasure, if not your favorite, similar to mine. But I don't get a lot of questions about their 2021 season. What do you know about the NLL coming back?
Yeah, well, it's going to be hopeful, and, you know, fingers crossed, people can get back in arenas and all that. But the NLL season, which typically would already be underway, would usually starts in late December, is going to be starting in April this year. And so that's the plan right now. They got a revamped website. Check it out, NLL.com. Stats, we're working on, actually, we talked about sports betting and fantasy, a betting and fantasy side of things for the National Lacrosse League as well. So that's in the works over the next season or two. Just really, Rod, it's the best lacrosse in the world. It's when I, if, for my money, if I'm looking at it, and I think I've said it on this show before, if you were to pay me same money to do play-by-play for any sport, it would be lacrosse. And I've been doing the Toronto Rock gig for 11 years now, and it's just so much fun. So when it does come back in April, you can track it, NLL.com, the league on all the social media. Give it a shot, because if you haven't, you're missing out.
No doubt. Andy, life looks like it's good for you. You're looking young, refreshed, excited. Thanks for the chat today, my friend, and all the best in 2021.
Oh, absolutely, Rod. Let's do it again soon. Talk to you later.
You betcha. Andy McNamara and our visit presented by DraftKings. This is a great question from Monty, and I'm going to answer it with your help right after I do a sports update. But Monty wants to know, how much is too much NHL?
Yeah.
Oh,
good question.
What a great question, Monty. That's a good one. But a sports update. Canadian teams will return to NHL action tonight. Winnipeg and Toronto square off in the evening. The Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers will renew hostilities after playing each other over the weekend. And Vancouver and Calgary also meet tonight. The Toronto Raptors are playing for a third straight victory this evening. They'll play against the Dallas Mavericks at their temporary home arena in Tampa Bay. The LA Chargers have hired LA Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley is their new head coach, who replaces former head coach Anthony Lynn. 21-year-old Roman Sadovsky captured the men's title at the Skate Canada Challenge. The native of Vaughan, Ontario, won the challenge with a final score of 262.01. And Kevin Na captured his fifth ever PGA Tour title with a win at the Sony Open in Hawaii Sunday. Na shot a 5-under par in his final round to win the tourney. BC's Nick Taylor finished in a three-way tie for 11th at 17-under. The sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, RP Show viewers get a 20% off discount with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Part of what got us in this mess of the pandemic was as it relates to sports, is the salaries being so high. You're starting to hear that flat caps in the NHL. You're hearing the NFL salary cap going down. You've heard these things.
Oh yeah.
And so with Monty saying how much is too much, it's been more of everything. More NFL, more NHL, more. And the public has an insatiable appetite for it. Right? And it drives the salaries up. It drives the ratings up. That's all good. And then the pandemic hits. I just think that insatiable hunger is what, you know what I mean?
That's what keeps
just
it going.
Just pushed it over the cliff.
But at some point, you have to resist the urge to add more and to grow.
But nobody does.
Right?
Nobody does
because that's our nature. We want more. We want more. We want more. Sometimes you have to find your lane and stay in it and not try and keep pushing the boundaries, right? Because that's when you run into trouble, you know, running too high for too long. We all need to sleep, right? We all need to find our comfort level.
It leads to a crash.
Leads to a crash, right? So I could watch NHL every night, and so could you. And we do. And we love it.
Exactly.
But every night NHL, too much. Every second night NHL, probably too much. You know, the NHL really was at their sweet spot when you were watching games, you know, the average fan, like once to twice per week to sit in and watch an NHL game. So you put it on two or three nights a week, and that became a lot, right? Every night hockey, your ratings per game are going to start to go down. You can't just keep adding more and more and more. You have to leave them wanting a little bit. So it's up to that.
It's
their
a fine
job
line
to find the sweet spot.
It's a fine line. And I know that we got to take a commercial break here, but as the voice of the Rough Riders for 20 years, I knew there was an insatiable appetite. It was once for information to the Rider Nation. It was once likened to me to feeding a bear. A guy that I knew that worked at a zoo said, the more you feed them, it was a lion actually, the more you feed them, the hungrier they get. They never get full. And I'm like, Rider fans are exactly the same. Jeff the Stamps fan says, personally, I think TSN is far too hockey-centered, but they are just giving what the public demands, right? It's insatiable. But I don't have a problem with the brakes being slammed on and the salaries coming down because it's got too out of control. There's no doubt. But what's killing these other leagues is not what I wanted.
Right.
Who saw that coming?
I know.
I didn't.
No, me either.
So we'll continue with this. Braden Muskowy in next. You're watching the RP show, Game Plus Television, live on YouTube daily, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. For the curling fans far and wide across the Great White North, you're going to love this one. We welcome Braden Muskowy to the rink from Team Dunstone. How you doing, Braden?
I'm doing great, Roddy.
You Thanks should be. You're off to the Brier.
Doing a lot better this week now that I know what's going on.
Yeah, no kidding. So, as I said, you don't just have to be a Saskatchewan curling fan for this story to resonate all across the country. The Brier and the Scotties are next month in the bubble in Calgary, and every province seems to be doing something different. But here in Saskatchewan, Team Dunstone has been anointed, along with Team Anderson, as the provincial reps. And with no small... not backlash necessarily, but there were no provincial playdowns. You were anointed the champions, and incidentally, you're the defending champions, but it didn't really go over quietly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, rightfully so, I think. I mean, yeah. If I was any other team but us, I wouldn't be too happy either. But unfortunately, that's the world we're living in right now, and running a provincial championship with 2 8-12 teams didn't matter. It was impossible with the restrictions. So, you know... Better be lucky than good, I guess, this year for us. That's for sure.
Oh, well, no doubt. And by the way, those that would have been in contention in this province, people would remember Robin Silvernagle from the Scotties, from North Battlefort. She did a concession speech on the women's side. Colton Flash would have been your top competitor. Mm-hmm. He did a concession speech. It was very classy the way that they did it. And for Sask Curl, they were in a no win. You know that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's such a tough spot to be in. Like, no matter which route you go, you're going to have people that are upset. So I think Curl Sask did a good job. They took their time with it. I think they explored all the options. They were trying to run a bubble. They couldn't get that approved by Sask Health. So at the end of the day, they had no choice left but to put together some criteria and make some selections. So lucky for us and lucky for Sherry's team.
Right. So to move ahead, you literally like bounced in here, Braden. I'm not sure you know that. Like how excited you are to know that you're going back to the Brier for now, what, a third straight year?
Yeah, two in a row, I guess. This will be two in a row. Lost the final to that damn Kirk Myers a couple years ago. So had to get him on our squad now. But yeah, we're thrilled. It's been, you know, curling. This is what we do. This is our livelihood. We've all kind of dedicated our lives to doing this and trying to chase this crazy Brier dream and goal of ours. So yeah, we're just excited. It's a weird feeling when you know, it's something's taken from you that you love and you can't do anymore, and to no fault of your own, it's just taken off the table. So I know we're excited to get back at it, and I know there's a ton of people that are just really craving some curling, and they're going to get a lot of curling for a couple months, so it's going to be
Well, especially if you win, you're going to get a lot of curling for a couple months. Yeah. I did run into one of your team members I mentioned on the weekend, and they said that if you win all the way out, you're looking at 2 months in the Calgary bubble. And that's, listen, I've talked to the NHL guys, man. It's as hard on your head as it is on your body.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to get ready for that?
Yeah, it's funny, actually. We just we had a Zoom yesterday afternoon, and that's one of the first things we started talking about is mentally preparing, because it's going to be a unique experience. From what I've heard of the NHL bubble, there wasn't a ton to do, same as the World Junior bubbles for hockey. So I know the Curling Canada has been in cahoots with the NHL, kind of taking what they did in their bubble, and it's going to be very similar. So yeah, that's the biggest thing, I think, mentally preparing for you know, probably a lot of downtime in the bubble. It'll be great when we're curling, obviously, but that'll only be a few hours a day. So a lot of Netflix, I guess, and a few games of cards with the boys are on tap.
And hopefully they put in a golf simulator and certain things. I mean, the NHL had that.
Yeah, I don't know if we're running with the same budget as the NHL did in their bubble. I know the NBA had barbershops and whatnot in theirs too, so I don't know if we're getting that full effect. But at the end of the day, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity experience, hopefully. They don't need to do this again. So just feel really, really lucky to have the chance to play in it. I know this is something we're going to look back and you're going to say, I played in that briar and that bubble and that pandemic. That
of course.
Year, right. Like it's something you're going to talk about forever. And how cool would it be to win the damn thing?
Well, the one thing is because the NFL is still playing, they're not in bubbles, but highly stringent protocols, yeah. Right? That nobody sees. And the thing is with when you mentioned the NHL, we saw the games. We didn't see the other 21 hours a day.
Right.
Right. It's just a sleight of hand. But you guys are high-level, top-end athletes, and obviously you're looking into it already, right?
Yeah.
What's going to help you come out on top of this?
Yeah, for sure, and I mean, we can't practice leading into the bubble, so, I mean, that's our focus right now, is finding out as much information as we can on it, and just so we can go in prepared, and, that's our next order of business, is trying to find some practice ice, because curling, like hockey, is shut down right now in the province, so we haven't thrown a rock since November, and, there is a few teams across the country that have been
able to practice. Does that
concern you? Yeah, that's a big concern.
Yeah.
Gushue's team's been practicing the whole time, I think that's our biggest concern for sure, is trying to find some good practice time before we get out there somehow.
Did you see, you must follow Rachel Holman on Instagram. Did you see she built a,
I did.
A rink out
yeah,
of the lake?
Yeah, I did. I'm good friends with her, so I was chatting with her about that. It's pretty cool. Actually, there's lots of teams that have been finding their way onto lakes and stuff to do some training, and I mean, it's a cool little photo op, but it doesn't compare to playing on the briar ice. So
yeah, no kidding.
We need to find some real ice, but if anyone has a rink around, we'd definitely be interested.
Well, maybe you might still end up on Mosaic's ice before all said and done. But I got to say this. I know that you guys were anointed Team Dunstone by acclamation, basically, to represent this province. What do you know about the rest of the field?
Yeah, it's going to be a stacked field.
Were they all the same coming out of their provinces?
Pretty
the same
much.
Way?
It's most of the defending champs, like John Epping, Brad Jacobs. Alberta's announcing today, which will be an interesting one because Brendan Botcher's technically the defending champion, but Kevin Cooey was Team Canada at the Briar last year, so they technically never lost their Alberta championship. So we'll be interesting to see what Alberta chooses to do there. But for the most part, across the board, it's been the defending champions.
That's good. So what's between now and when the start of the Briar, what do you got going on?
Not a lot. Just like I said, we're honestly, there's not a whole lot we can do. I mean, we're training, off-ice training. We're doing a lot of mental training, that stuff. We're staying in touch with the guys, just doing as much of the little things as we can. But the biggest one is getting the reps in before. So this week will be about trying to work with hopefully the SAS government and see if we can get on the ice at some point before the Briar or potentially maybe we go to Calgary early and can practice there. I'm not too sure what that looks like just yet.
Well, Braden, I appreciate you coming in. You know we're following very closely. Good luck.
Thanks,
and hopefully I don't see you for months.
That
just on TV.
Hopefully the next time we're back in here, we got a friend, a tankard that we can bring
exactly.
by and tell some good stories from the bubble.
Braden Muscoe from Team Dunstone. They're headed to the Briar next month in the Calgary bubble. Dupes comes back in here for the overtime segment and viewer takeover next. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus Television, live daily on YouTube, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Viewer Takeover. It's always fun. We got lots of time for it. We're committed to 3 face-offs a week, by the way. Can I just say that?
Sure.
Darren and I,
we
got to face off 3 times a week for the Ultimate Fan Zone and the Mad Greek Restaurant. And I said to Darren, maybe we should face off on this Canadian division, which coincidentally, I love when sponsors run into each other. It's the poll question today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Sorry to make you guys throw all the logos up. But should the Scotia North Division continue past this year? Now, I voted no. I'm starting to move off it. I'm starting to say I could be convinced. If you could give me a good enough reason, I could be convinced. And where are you on it?
I'm leaning no.
You're leaning no, but did you initially vote yes?
Well, my initial thought is I love it. I think it should absolutely be here. I think it's one of those things about too much hockey. I think if it'll get old quick. And, not in terms of next year or the year after that, but 3, 4, 5 years, it'll start to feel like the CFL of the NHL. right? It'll start to feel like, oh, just the, you know, the teams up north and the McDavids and the Matthews, and they'll start forgetting about the Canadian division in the United States.
There's that term of prisoner of the moment. Are we just so in love with it right now?
Yeah.
'Cause it's new, and then we'll just toss it aside. And that's the tough part for the hardcore diehard hockey fans, of which we're in that group, and Clark too. We're never going to get tired of it. But maybe Johnny Sixpack or Martha Sixpack is going to get tired of it. And that needs to be a consideration.
Yeah.
But I said no simply because of the time zones. We can't have guys flying from Montreal to Vancouver and back and forth. But if you find ways and make it like a baseball schedule and you stay out there for two or three, I could be convinced.
Sure.
I honestly could. But you also do, when the border opens, go down and play the American teams as well. So I'm starting to move off it. We started at opposite ends, and we're like going like this.
I know.
The offside is, or the, sorry, the face-off is brought to you by the Mad Greek Restaurant. For the best authentic Greek cuisine, check them out. Available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Visit their website at themadgreekeatery.com.
What I wonder is, at the end of this thing, in a few months, are we going to be sitting here asking the poll question, would you support a 56-game schedule moving forward? Whether it's more spread out, more time in between, or really super condensed?
That's not face-off. That's when the gloves come off.
Yeah.
And for the ultimate fan zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they're your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, built by fans for the fans in southern Saskatchewan. Prairie Mobile text line, Metal Shingle Guy writes in and says, I kind of would miss a Bruins-Canadians tilt or two. That's the rub. So if you open up that division to play outside your division, but you play mostly within your division, which is normally the way it's set up, I think there's some merit there. Ray writes in from the 6. Hey, Rod, I felt bad for Drew Brees last night. Not the way you want it to end. He is a class act. I wish him well. TB12 does it again. Unbelievable. Looking forward to the NFL Conference Championships. That's from Ray in Toronto. Brady in Saskatoon says, hey, Rod, sad way for Brees to go out. He says, I find it odd that there are NBA and NHL games being played so early in the day. People have school and work to go to. Tim Stützle with an amazing first NHL goal. Lafreniere has yet to do anything. That's from Brady in Saskatoon. Listen, with the Brees, would you guys stop it? Stop it. You feel bad for Drew Brees. This is why I looked this up in the break. Who do you think's made the most money in the National Football League over the last 20 seasons? Who? Drew Brees? I wish somebody would feel sorry for me and give me $269 million in the last 20 seasons.
Back pay.
The poor son of a gun! Tom Brady next, $261,791. Ben Roethlisberger is third. Matt Ryan, that fraud, is fourth. Philip Rivers, fifth in earnings. Oh, poor Drew Brees. Where's his next meal coming from? He's going to be pulling up to the food bank with a fake mustache and glasses on. Feel sorry for Drew Brees. Come on, come off it. And DG in Saskatoon, morning guys, simply put, Tiger was way better than The Last Dance. Learned a ton about the greatest golfer of all time. DG in Saskatoon.
Oh.
You got some thoughts on that?
Yeah, we can.
15 seconds.
There's not enough time. We'll have to carry this in to tomorrow. Please carve some time to talk about the Tiger Woods documentary.
I'll make a note of it. My deal, Mike Lee's watching. He says it's a 56-game season. I'm good with that. Bite your tongue, Mike! How about we have an 82-game season and we spread it over 52 weeks? Just go year-round. How about that? Jeff Kabilis in Winnipeg says, Johnny Sixpack sounds like a wrestling name. It does, doesn't it?
It does.
We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live and noon Eastern here on Game Plus. Thanks for watching, y'all. Let's make some noise!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.